Hello, hello. This is Bill Bronson, marketing guru. This is the Squirrel Marketing Podcast, and I have with me Jeffrey the Cooperstein.
Hello. How's it going?
How is it in sports podcast legendum?
Legendum. I like that. It's good. It's going.
You're pumping again.
We're working every day. Yeah.
That's awesome. So what's the latest one about?
Staying busy. Pretty Mavericks focused at the moment.
Go ahead and plug it. Tell people where to get it.
You can find it on MavsMoneyBall.com. Go find it there.
MavsMoneyBall.com.
Yes, sir.
That's cool.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Yeah, so Jeffrey, so today, listen, I was sick for a few days, and over the past couple of weeks, I've been in a class that's kicking my butt, and it is about statistics, and it's more specifically, it's about analyzing data in a quantitative research project. And that basically means a bunch of math stuff.
stuff that numbers, I have no idea about.
Numbers and surveys and things. So I had a really hard time understanding some things in the beginning and continue to have a little bit of trouble, but it's really starting to grow on me, even though it's like super out there mathematician stuff. And I don't like math like that. I'm more creative. But I learned about variables, different kinds of variables.
Back in statistics?
Yeah. Well,
I'm back in statistics.
Statistics, yeah. So in statistics, there's dependent variables and independent variables. Dependent variables are things that are affected by other things.
That's why they're dependent.
Yeah. So they basically change based on other variables. For instance, your satisfaction level with the job would be one variable. And the other one might be the level of helpful you would rank your boss, maybe. So let's just say
something like that.
So maybe the how helpful your boss is has a lot to do with how well you like your job.
Would you call the U.S. dollar a dependent variable?
The U.S. dollar?
Its fluctuation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is a commodity. So
it's dependent on a lot of things, right?
Yeah. That's in one sense. On the other sense, it's the standard. So we can print however much we want.
Yeah. Because that was the first thing I thought of when you said dependent.
Well, so I'm more thinking about some advice for living your life. I mean, so I was thinking about myself and I was basically giving myself some advice, and I started seeing how I've been living my life in a lot of ways as a dependent variable and letting everything around me affect me and basically letting everyone else steer my ship. And a lot of people feel like you have to be the dependent variable, or you have to be submissive in your mindset to be an employee, because you have a boss who's paying you and dictating what you do. And I would argue against that, because for a long time now, I've been bucking the system, basically. I'm an independent-minded person, and to try to put me in a submissive role is not going to work. For instance, I couldn't be in the military. So I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, you know what? You can be a really, really good employee and be the independent variable.
Absolutely.
And it's not necessarily how you think on the outside that it might be. So if your boss comes to you and says, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and you say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, Well, you can still be the independent variable there. Now, in one sense, your role that you're performing for the job is a dependent variable, because your role is dictated by the person who pays for that role. You just happen to be the person they're renting to perform the role. But if you voluntarily come to work, which you do, if you voluntarily take the task on that's asked of you and perform it, which you do, you're an independent variable. And so whether people know it or not, so a lot of people think in the sense that they're handcuffed to things, marriages, relationships, jobs, whatever. Unless you're in prison, you don't have to do anything. And so people make their mind up to do it, and then they martyr themselves to the point where they become the victim. Then they can act like a victim and get sympathy from people. And what they actually should be doing is saying, look, I choose to come here and work. I may not like this job the way I would like running my own company, but I like this job well enough that I got up and came here at 5:30 in the morning. And I like it well enough that I pretty much like my boss. I like the people that run the company. And
if you started asking me to come here at 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah, well, you'd say no.
I wouldn't be here.
You're an independent variable. But so my point is this, and it comes from the Bible too, when it talked about how slaves should enjoy their work, basically, and take pride in their lot in life at the moment. It doesn't mean you don't want to get out of that lot in life. It doesn't mean you don't want to get better, or you don't want to make more money, or you don't want to maybe change jobs or whatever. It doesn't mean you don't have aspirations and goals and that you don't strive for them. What it means is, at the moment, it's best if you choose to excel at whatever it is you're doing, even if you don't particularly want that to be a long-term situation. Because if you don't, then you become the victim. You feel led. You feel pushed. You feel pushed around. You get resentful. You start not feeling well. You start not being happy. Therefore, people around you aren't happy, and it just spins out of control. So I was talking to a friend of mine who he was in a really serious situation with his company, and he decided to venture out on his own, but he didn't really know how to do it. He didn't know if it was going to work, and he was really kind of freaked out. And I said, look, you got to be the independent variable here. I've just been studying statistics, and I'm telling you, I see, even though you are quote-unquote self-employed right now, you're still acting like the victim. You're still acting like a dependent variable. And we had a long talk about it, and he was blown away by the whole concept of how statistics could explain things in life. And so so I realized I've been starting to do that. And I learned something in one area. I start thinking how that might explain things in other areas of my life. And it's fascinating to do that. When particularly my son's in college, and I was thinking the other day, you know how college kids, high school kids, they'll say, well, why do I need to know this? I'll never use this. Well, I didn't think I would ever use statistics, and I just did.
Well, squirrel, but statistics is something that, you know, anyone can use in everyday life.
Yeah. I mean, calculus, maybe not.
Exactly.
But I would bet, because calculus is based on laws that are consistent in our universe, I would bet that you would learn something out of calculus that would make sense in other areas of your life.
I never took calculus, so I don't need to know that.
I'm just saying.
I know.
The laws, there are some steady things in life that you can hang your hat on, that you can rely on. And I think that if people stopped feeling forced and started taking the initiative to be the best at whatever the hell they're doing at the moment, they'd be a lot happier. And that includes taking history or geometry or calculus or statistics. And what, like where I am right now, I hated it. I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to get done with this stupid class. And then I started learning something from it. And I was like, wait a minute. This is kind of hairy stuff. It's really deep. I mean, and to think about different kinds of studies and linear regression models and stuff, and it starts to really bore the people I talk to about it. But if you're studying it, it really starts to make sense. So anyway, are you a dependent or an independent variable?
I would hope I'm an independent variable. I like to think I am. I'd like to think I don't completely rely on people to have my own success.
Yeah, exactly. All of us have some dependence on or some reactive nature to other people's decisions. Or like if you're married, you may not be the dependent variable necessarily, but you're going to be reactive. And you know, if you hear, for instance, if I hear Christy in the other room scream, I'm going to come running. I'm reacting to what she did.
Exactly.
In that moment, I'm the dependent variable based on what happened.
Right.
But then again, I decided a long time ago to be her champion.
Exactly.
To be her hero, to be her protector, to be everything that I can be to her. I decided to do that. And so by doing that, I did it of my own free will. Exactly. I'm not exactly dependent. I'm not sure if you're the dependent variable if you decide to be.
No, I think...
I'm not sure. It goes a little deeper
than that. I think it's, you know, things that are out of your control, what you would be, I guess, dependent on, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure you can decide to be the dependent variable in certain situations.
Right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you mean.
What I'm talking about is by deciding, you're actually, in the core sense of it, the independent.
Yes, you're making a decision that impacts.
Yeah. You're deciding to. You're not forced to.
Right. Exactly.
So anyway, that's really what I was going to talk about today. But I wanted to squirrel off and talk about some other stuff, too. So, got any ideas about marketing?
You're throwing me into a loop here.
I know. Well, so, I did have a conversation with Vicky. Do you remember a couple episodes ago we talked about Vicky? And so, we finished up her logo and business card, and we started talking about the things that that she's going to be doing. So, what I was listening to her, and I remember last time we talked about a billboard maybe and some other things, but I decided I think she should focus in really four main areas. So these are insurance agents. They focus mainly on Medicare or senior age clients, and they live in a small town, just to catch everybody back up. Gordon, who is her life partner, is, I guess, maybe retired from the fire department. Everybody in town knows him. And she is super sweet and a magnetic personality, and everybody loves her. And so together, they really look like realtors. Big smiles, just larger-than-life personalities. So I thought they'd be great on a billboard, right? And... So I said, okay, here's a couple of things. Number one, I think you should have a YouTube channel. I think you should have some kind of outreach where you can interact with Gordon, and the two of you, your personalities are attractive. I think just talking about anything would be interesting.
Absolutely.
And so I think a YouTube channel would not only be therapeutic for you, kind of like journaling, but I think it would let you stretch and spread your wings a little bit, and you might surprise yourself how good you are at it. And number two, I think you need to get a hotline phone number, like a helpline, an 888 number or something, And there's these services online where you can go in and you can type in numbers and see if it makes any words or something.
Right.
Or you can do vice versa. You could say, okay, is there any combination of words that there's a number available?
Right.
So take a little time getting a helpline together. And then I talked about this doctor's office marketing program that Empower Brokerage does. And we have like a ballot box and some things where we go around through the provider networks, and we get to the doctors, and we service the doctors by helping their patients maximize their benefits, so that the doctor can maximize his earnings, and the patient can get, you know, the best insurance for the money that we've got. So there's the doctor's office angle, and that's a whole marketing program for people. So that's number three, really. And then Medicare 101, we developed a Medicare seminar with a PowerPoint and a booklet, and you can print the booklet or have it as a PDF. And it teaches all the basics about Medicare. So I thought, okay, small town, Vicki and Gordon can do these Medicare 101 seminars at wherever.
The local restaurant.
Golden Corral or wherever they
Golden can Corral.
Have, wherever they can have a room. Yeah. And they can teach people and become the experts, which they already are. They just don't promote it.
Right.
So they can do that and doctor's offices. They can promote the Medicare 101 seminars at the doctor's offices. They can help people that they meet at the Medicare 101 seminars find doctors if they need them, because they'll have a network of doctors that they go see on a weekly basis. So between that and the helpline and the YouTube channel.
You got them going.
Got them going.
Good.
And the only other thing would be to keep track of all their clients and keep in touch with them and call them all the time. I remember when I was in the mortgage business, there was this thing, I think I've mentioned it before, it was called by referral only.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, in a nutshell, you have a database of your top 200 clients that you enjoy, who you want to work with again, who send you referrals, and you continually update that and fire people who aren't, who shouldn't be part of that. And then, you know, over time, you build this group of cheerleaders for yourself. So I talked to them all about that. They loved every bit of it because it gave them a track to run on. And now they know what to do when they get up in the morning. And when they go to bed at night, they're excited about tomorrow because they start talking about these things that they're going to do tomorrow.
They already have the hard part out of the way, though, and that's getting people to trust you, because they're already well-known in the community.
Exactly.
So people are already going to trust them, and people will take them at their word.
Yeah, yeah, and that's an awesome responsibility, so you don't violate that trust.
Right.
And these aren't the kind of people who would, anyway. They're very selfless people, but they just didn't know what to do every day to bring in business. They're not the first well-meaning, selfless people to starve to death. I mean, and I don't think that they are starving. I think they have a pretty good business going already. But a lot of people who are well-meaning don't make enough money to survive,
right?
Only because they think that if they make money, that means that they don't care about their client. And that's not true. It's the opposite, really. I found that most of the clients who loved me most, I ended up making the most money from doing business with.
Yeah.
Because if I undercut and cut down and gave away and got to the point where I barely made a dollar helping somebody,
you'd be doing them a disservice.
Well, they didn't enjoy the purchase as much, first of all, because the value was diminished to the point where I'm doing it for free. So they didn't feel that sense of, I don't know, sense of pride,
yeah,
or something. I remember a long time ago, the same thing kind of happened. I was selling cars, and the deals where I made the most money, I actually got referrals from, and they loved me. And the deals where I made a mini, like $50 on, those people were a pain in the rear.
Always.
It was horrible. And it seems to work out that way. But anyway, so be the independent variable.
Exactly. I like that theme.
Yeah. Well, that's all I've got for you today. I know it's kind of a short one, but it's Friday. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
Enjoy your weekend.
And we will see you soon.
Later.